Welcome to Tell Me About It on WUFT 89.1 and 90.1. I'm Sue Wagner here today with a very famous Cedar Key resident and a loyal fan of public broadcasting. His name is Michael Presley Bobbitt. And if it's summertime, it's time once again for the annual Cedar Key Shark Swim. This is going to be the fifth annual event. It's on August 15th, begins at noon, and I believe it goes from Etsina Odi to the main island. It's not challenging. It's 0.42 miles, so anybody can do it. Mm-hmm. But tell us how this started, and obviously it's become extremely popular.
Sure. So it's one of the great things that we do on the island. It's become a real cultural event. We have the smallest public school in Florida on the island. We routinely graduate about 10 kids a year. And for a school that size, we're always facing budget shortfalls. So the community really gets together and throughout the year tries to find ways to raise money for the school. And one day I was sitting at one of the Dock Street restaurants with the mayor at the time, Heath Davis. And I said, hey, you ever swam across over to Seniota there? And he goes, you know, when I was a kid, I did. And it used to be a rite of passage up in through the 1960s that when you turned 10 years old, you had to swim across the channel to be a real Cedar Key person. And I said, man, we need to do that again. I said, we should do that now and raise money and give it to the school. And he's like, oh, man, what an idea. And it's just taken off. It is only 0.42 miles. But it's it's a little bit challenging. It's open water. You're going across the channel. And there are a handful of folks that come every year to try to win. But the vast majority of the participants are on shark floats, or they got floaties, or they're riding pool noodles, and they dress up in elaborate costumes. And it's just a really fun time.
Are sharks actually involved in this swim?
Well, yeah. If you're here's how you know if there's sharks in the water in Florida. If the water's salty, there's sharks. And if it's wet and it's not salty, they're alligators. So the Cedar Key mascot of our school, they're the Cedar Key Sharks. So our little tagline for the swim is swim with the sharks for the sharks. But you will absolutely be swimming amongst an absolute busload of sharks. They're everywhere.
But they're just kind of small.
It's
not like Jaws is showing up.
Well, here's the thing, though. When there's 200 people in the water splashing and making a fuss and all of the safety boats and the Coast Guard's there and the FWC, the sharks want no part of being around that. I tell people sometimes you have a better chance of getting struck by lightning while winning the Powerball on February 29th than you do getting bit by a shark in the swim.
Well, that sounds pretty safe then. There you go. That's a great way to phrase it.
So we've never had a confirmed shark attack in the history of Cedar Key. And as you know, Sue, I'm a clam farmer, so I'm in that water all day long along with a couple hundred other people. Never had a clam farmer getting bitten by a shark. We have a shark fishing club that comes to Cedar Key and routinely catches sharks right on the path where we're swimming. But it really is. The odds of the sharks being a part of your life during the swim are infinitesimally small.
And when you mention clams, clam farmer, I believe you're also known as the Clambassador. I knew that was going to come up, right?
Yeah, so I made a little silly character called the Clambassador several years ago to promote the clam industry. Cedar Key is one of the largest producers of farm-raised clams in North America, and I'm biased, but I certainly believe our clams are the best in the world. And so the Clambassador is a little character I do. I go around the state. In fact, I just came back from Washington doing some lobbying with Congress there, and I go to the lobby days every year in Tallahassee to try to bring awareness to not just the wonderful industry of clams. It's really one of the last blue-collar working waterfront type things you can do, but it's good for the environment. It's the only endeavor I've ever been in my life where the environment and industry are not at odds with one another. Clams clean the water. The places where we lease 2-acre spots of land from the state to plant our clams, and before the clams get there, they're pretty much ecological dead zones, just mud flats and sandbars. Within weeks of our clams going in, entire new ecosystems develop because the clams clean the water. So more sunlight penetrates the water column, more phytoplankton grows, and then you get little shrimp and then little fish and mullet and the whole thing. It's great.
So how do you plant clams?
Sure. So we have 4-foot by 4-foot mesh bags, and we generally plant about 1,200 of them, little tiny baby clams, and we stake those bags down to the bottom of the Gulf. And from what we call seed, from the tiny little baby clams until it's ready for your plate, takes 16 months, basically. Everywhere else in North America takes 24 months, but Cedar Key is just, we have some really great advantages there. We have some of the cleanest water in the state already because we have the longest stretch of undeveloped coastline in Florida, 46 miles of the Wakasasa Bay State Preserve. It's just a wonderful watershed. It filters the water already. And then we're situated in a little Goldilocks zone between the outflows of the Suwannee River and the Wakasasa River seem to give us just the right mix of fresh and salt water that clams just love it, and they just grow like crazy there.
So how long have you been a clam farmer?
This is starting my fifth year, and the first year, everything went great. I made so much money, I thought, wow, this is like stealing. And then we had Hurricane Idalia and Hurricane Debbie and Hurricane Helene. And I say, as you know, I'm a novelist too, and I say in my first novel about Cedar Key that the Gulf of Mexico is the great provider and the angry God. It gives and it gives and it gives, and then sometimes it takes everything that you have. And so it's part of that whole Wild West mentality, riverboat gambler mentality, is what makes it fun.
And you're one of many clam farms in the Cedar Key area?
Sure. We have about 1,000 acres being clammed, or about 135 licensed clam farmers, but really only about 40 of us really getting after it and planting. You know, I have, for instance, I have about 5 million clams planted out there. My girlfriend, we call her the clam princess. She has over 20 million clams planted out there. So there's a handful of us really getting after it.
So do you like purchase them at a hatchery?
A hatchery is exactly right. Yeah, we're required to purchase from a licensed Florida-based hatchery that uses only Florida clams and only Florida genetics. And sometimes when you hear the word genetics, you think about like genetically modified foods. It's really not like that at all. You just find the healthiest papa clam and the healthiest mama clam, and you set the mood by warming the water and getting the bacteria level right.
Nice lighting and music.
And then, they fall in love, and then they spawn millions of little baby clams. And we buy them from the hatchery. They're about the size of the end of your fingernail when you get them. And we buy them millions at a time and plant them that way.
So I guess you kind of target different times of year so that you have a continuous supply coming through?
Yeah, well, so unlike oysters or fish, there's not really a season. It's all year long. The only caveat to that is that in the hot, hot part of the months, the clams don't like the heat that much. So we try not to be introducing the little babies in the summer because they just don't do as well. But yeah, in general, if we pull 100,000 out, we put 100,000 back in. And that's one of the key distinctions about our industry as opposed to, say, commercial fishing. We're not removing anything from the environment. We're putting them in. They live for 16 months. They filter the water. We take them out and we put them back in. So that feels good.
Wow, that's really good. Well, one quick thing, we're going to take a break in just a minute, but the Cedar Key School, you say you graduate about 10 a year. Do you have students in every grade, or is it just certain grades?
Yeah, it's kindergarten through 12th grade, and we never really have more than about 150 students in the entire school. And I don't know what that is like to be a student where you just know everyone from the time you're five years old. By the time you're in the seventh grade, you've dated just about everybody in the gene pool there. but it really is from a community standpoint, it's wonderful. You meet these kids in kindergarten and you follow them all the way through. And we're generally not super great at most of our sports because we just have a smaller amount of a smaller pool of athletes to pull from. But man, do we show up at our basketball games. We pack the gym and we scream our heads off for our Sharks. And it just it feels like, it's a real community deal. And a lot of the kids, they go away and then a lot of them come back. So you get to know these kids when they're young and then you get to know them again when they're adults. And a lot of them work on the water with you. So it's pretty cool.
And funds from this event go directly to school, whatever needs they might.
Sure. 100% of the proceeds go right to the school. And we every year we pick out a new thing. This last year, a good portion of the money went to designating the school, the historic school building, as part of a national historic place. So we got a marker, which is great, but it also protects the building from being redeveloped. So
right.
We're
nice.
Constantly fighting to keep the school, so we're doing all the tricks we can. We often like to fund the aquaculture club or program at the school to help the next round of oystermen and the next round of clam farmers to learn what we do. 2 years ago, I was able to fund the Young Readers Program, was able to fund their budget for several years. And then sometimes we have money to fund scholarships. So it's just, whatever the need is, we send the money their way.
Sounds good. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and talk more about Cedar Key and how things have really evolved and improved since the hurricanes of many years.
That's right.
So
great. Thanks.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Tell Me About It on WUFT 89.1 and 90.1. I'm Sue Wagner here today with Michael Presley Bobbitt from Cedar Key. He's a famous playwright, a famous author. He has a trilogy of books and a new one coming out. But he's also the person that created the Cedar Key Shark Swim, which this year's edition will be on August 15th. And it's a really cool event. People like to really outdo themselves with these shark costumes, shark floaties, whatever you could think. But the whole goal is to raise money for the Cedar Key School, and their mascot is the shark. So it all kind of fits together. And Michael's also known as the Clambassador. And during hurricane season, he's known for making people aware of what's going on. And it was just devastating the last couple of years where there were just a tremendous amount of hurricanes that came. And how is everything being rebuilt? How's it happening?
Sure. So we had three major hurricanes in 13 months. Hurricane Idalia, which at the time was the most devastating hurricane since the Great Cedar Key Hurricane of 1896. Then we had a smaller but still major Hurricane Debbie. And then a few months after that, we had Hurricane Helene, which is it set the all-time records. We had over 13 feet of storm surge. So there were places on the island. The island is generally at about 1 or 0 feet above sea level. So there were places on the island that were nearly 13 feet deep in water. And I stayed behind during that storm. We had a couple elderly folks on the island that were stubbornly refusing to leave. And I just thought if they got in trouble, you know, I'd be able to go help them. And in fact, at the height of the storm in Hurricane Helene, we had to go rescue an older couple out of their house and bring them to my house up on the hill. It was just a really rough time. But we lost about 60, actually, I think we lost 62 homes on the island, which for a community of only 700 people was a significant hit to our tax base. Just and a lot of those folks didn't have insurance. When you live in a place like Cedar Key and, you know, the insurance market in Florida is increasingly difficult, those are folks that that just don't come back, that have had to pack up and leave. So that's been tough. We lost several of our restaurants, but I'm here to report that Cedar Key is open for business. We've spent the last year and a half really working hard to put it all back together. Almost all of our restaurants are back. Our Airbnbs are open. Our little condo places are open. Come stay. Come get a good meal. Come swim in the Shark Swim. And also, if you are happen to be a fan of my novels, you can buy them right there on the island. And the little bookstore that sells them, the Main Street Mercantile there on 2nd, they know that I like to meet strangers, so they'll tell him, here's his phone number. He lives at the corner of E and 3rd. He doesn't lock his door. He'd love to meet you. If it's any day but Monday or Tuesday or Tuesday or Wednesday, he's at Annie's. He sits at the table in the corner. Bring your books. So I sign 10 or 15 copies of that novel every day, and it's my favorite thing to meet strangers.
Yeah, well, what I know during Helene, you actually were kind of broadcasting what you were doing there, and you had a selfie stick, and you're neck deep in water, and I saw you on CNN.
Oh, yeah. For the Clambassador News Network, this is action weatherman Michael Presley. I was on CNN, Fox News, all the major news networks in America. I had a friend call me from Kuala Lumpur and said, I just saw my redneck buddy up to his eyeballs in water on our state television here. It really just really took off. And another reason that I stayed behind is that I know whenever there's a hurricane, it's, you know, it's very stressful and people are full of anxiety about what's happening. And it's in the people that wisely heeded the mandatory evacuation. It was days later before they could get back on the island. So part of my role was once the storm waters receded, was to drive around and take pictures of everybody's houses to let them know if they were OK. And that first day, I think I took 40 or 50 photos, and half of the phone calls I made were the worst phone calls I ever made in my life. Just the house was either not there, or half of it was gone, or it was not, the house was not on the street that it was supposed to be on. It was really a traumatic time. But, you know, so often in life that difficulties reveal the character of people and the character of a town. And it was just absolutely beautiful to see. Even, you know, William Faulkner always talked about the small town feuds that are always, he said that in small towns we have less opportunity for actual evil, so we have to invent it in the patronage of our neighbors. And that's true. But whenever there's a hurricane kicking up in the Gulf, all of those things go away. It doesn't matter whether you like the people or not. The neighbors come out to help neighbors. We're checking on each other. It was really beautiful to see the collective effort of the community come together to rebuild this place that we all love.
That's great. I know a lot of them are building on stilts now, just to not taking any chances.
We're really trying to learn. You know, it's unreasonable to expect to keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect your house not to get blown away. And I know that it's sort of a fraught political issue, but the data is the data about the water getting warmer and the water's rising. As a person that lives just a few feet from the Gulf of Mexico, I can tell you that the water's getting higher and it's getting warmer. We track that data obsessively because of the heat affects our clams. And I think it would be unreasonable of us to stick our head in the sand and not prepare for the coastline changing as it's going to.
Yeah, and I had noticed that every time the Island Hotel seems to just, nothing happens to that place. It's there, what, like 130 years
1859.
Now?
It's the oldest building on the island. If you happen to come in there, make sure to go into the Neptune Lounge right above the bar. Is a painting of King Neptune with three bullets still in it from the last bullet fight around the time of the Civil War. But yeah, the bullets are still there. That's a great old building. It's one of my favorite places.
And the Confederate soldier ghost that haunts the place at night?
Apparently, supposedly. I've stayed there many times and I haven't seen her, but a little girl in a Confederate battle dress uniform roams up and down the halls. My friend Joey swears that a ghost bit the end of his ear off while he was sleeping there. But I think it was the three bottles of wine he had, and I think he fell out of the bed. But yeah, and whenever I have a new novel come out, I rent out the entire Island Hotel, all the rooms. I fly in authors from around the country, and we rent the courtyard, and we have live music, and people come to buy the book, and it's just an awesome time. That's just such a cool old building.
You put Cedar Key on the map, so to speak.
You know, it's kind of funny. I have a friend in Colorado. You know, we have a little system kicking up out in the Gulf right now. It's thankfully heading in the other direction, but whenever any national weather show comes on, Cedar Key is now prominently highlighted on the map. And he called me and he's like, I think you probably have something to do with this. He was like, in years past, who'd ever heard of Cedar Key? Now every single weather map has Cedar Key as a focal point for the middle of the state there.
I hope that's not a bullseye.
me too.
Because hurricane season is upon us right now. But it's great that people know Cedar Key and all the different things that you've done for the community, including the Shark Swim. I mean, fifth annual, that's great. And I've seen pictures, and it's absolutely hilarious.
Oh, it is so fun. The number of shark floaties or unicorn boats, and we say you can bring anything that doesn't have a motor on it. So, you know, there are a handful of folks trying to win, but most folks are there just to try to see if they can make it across. And we've not really ever lost anyone. 2 years ago, my best buddy's wife and daughter were on a giant unicorn float, and the unicorn was so big, the head and tail of the unicorn acted like a sail, and it carried them past our safety boats. And thankfully, a fishing charter captain saw them heading toward Crystal River and got them. But we promise to keep a watch on you. We have safety boats lining the course. Most of them are clam boats, so there's no stern on the back, so you can literally just swim right up onto the boat. The Coast Guard comes, FWC comes. It's just a really magical time. And we block off about three blocks of the town there, and we'd have an all-day block party with live music and food. And it's just a wonderful
time. And clams.
And clams. You can't come to Cedar Key and not find clams.
I have a friend here, one of our professors, and she's getting her swim team to go and be part of this event.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So they're going to be there and back in a second.
Well, that'll be great because we've had this one guy. He's a Coast Guard guy, petty officer in the Coast Guard, really neat guy. He and his wife have been dominating the swim for the last 2 years. They've finished first and second. Oh, yeah. And last year, she almost caught him, but he got her in the end. So he's coming this year to try to three-peat. Thankfully, she can't swim, so the other girls have a chance because she'll be 6 months pregnant on the day of the swim. But, yes, somebody come beat this Coast Guard guy. I'm a Navy guy, and it's hard to abide. I swam the first year and finished ninth, which I thought, you know, for an old guy was pretty good. But now I stay and I announce all the winners as they arrive. So it's hard for me to MC the event if I'm swimming. But I famously beat our mayor. We had a big contest the first year to see who would win, and he finished 10th right behind me, preposterously claiming that he broke his fin. But I think he was just bested by the better swimmer.
Yeah. Well, people want more information. Is there a website they can find?
Sure, www.cedarkeysharkswim.com. Cedarkeysharkswim.com. Or you can just come to town and find me. Ask someone where the clam ambassador is. I'll fix you up.
There you go. Well, Michael, thanks once again. An entertaining show and a lot of great information. I'm glad Cedar Key is back.
Thank you so much.
That was Michael Presley Bobbitt, 5th Annual Cedar Key Shark Swim Event Coordinator and self-proclaimed clam ambassador on today's episode of Tell Me About It. To listen to previous episodes of the show, go online at wuft.org/tellmeaboutit or on the WUFT media app. I'm Sue Wagner on Tell Me About It on WUFT.